All right. Let's get serious here for a second. I wanted to talk about this on Monday, but she wasn't quite ready to do it. A show member lost everything in a house fire.
Yeah.
And she's on now. Ayesha May, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
What happened?
We're still investigating the cause of the fire. The guy that came out, we had the fire marshal came out, did the investigation and everything. But long story short, our garage actually somehow caught fire. And it was, I don't know if anyone remembers, it was thunder, lightning, downpouring up by us in East Hartford. My husband was, had put our son down for a nap, was in the bathroom. I was just, in my bedroom, knock on the door. One of our neighbors, who actually I've never met before, we actually met a lot of neighbors from this, unfortunate situation, which is nice that they came ringing the doorbell saying, oh, there's, it looks like your garage is on fire. There's smoke coming, from the garage area. I'm, freaking out. We're thinking, oh, maybe something small, Nate runs out with the fire extinguisher. All of a sudden, it's like I start seeing smoke coming into the house. Nate's coming in the house and call 911. It's a lot emotional to talk about. I had to grab my son from the crib and run out of the house with our dog. But thankfully, we got out in time, and thank God for the East Hartford Fire Department and the police department. The police were there in 1 minute. The fire department was there in two, and they were able to, contain the flames to the garage, and it did, creep a little bit into our house. But, because of the response time, our house isn't completely to the ground, at least. At the end of the day, all that's important is, my son is alive. My son, my husband, and our dog, Harper. We love Harper. Got out safe. Thank you so much again to the East Hartford Police Department, to the Fire Department, to the American Red Cross, who helped us afterwards and with finding a place to stay. We ran out with the clothes on off our back, we didn't have anything. Wow. So it's just been a crazy couple days. I just also thank you to anyone who's reached out. We've already had, friends on their own, just, donate, phone calls, people I've never even spoken to. And it is a lot. And I've not been responding to everyone because it's an emotional as you can tell. Just thank you to anyone and everyone who have reached out and have been supportive. And thank you, Chaz. I think I told you, the people who boarded up our house are Chaz and AJ listeners. And I was like, I'm so grateful for this community as well. And for you guys and for, the advice you were giving me and everything. I'm just very grateful for that. So thank you and everyone on the station who texted me and called me. I'm so grateful for all of you. So thank you.
Listen, we're here to help.
Yeah.
Tell us
your family.
How can we help?
Yeah.
My mother-in-law, she actually is unfortunately down in North Carolina, but she set up a GoFundMe for us. Just posted it. I can send you the link. If you want to donate anything, we feel weird asking for money. It's just one of those situations where it's like, I'm just trying to make it day by day and create normalcy for my son and my dog. I'll send you the link to the GoFundMe.
Post it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have a 4-month baby. It's just, I don't care about me and Nate. I'm just glad he's okay, and I want to just try to keep his life as normal as possible. And that's what the money's going towards, buying him, a crib. We have to find a house and getting all the things for him, getting a new stroller, getting a new car seat.
Where are you guys staying now?
We're at the Hilton Garden Inn and Suites up here, or in Glastonbury.
So you're in a hotel.
We're in a hotel right now. And then I think we're going to try to temporary, get like an Airbnb or somewhere to stay for a couple weeks and then find long-term housing, which is even more difficult with, we have a baby and we have a dog.
Right.
And, it's
Well, isn't the insurance company helping you with that?
Yes and no. It's a process. So, you know, he first said, you guys might be in a hotel for a couple weeks. And I want to be like, do you understand? We have a dog and a 4-month baby and 2 grown adults in one room. We're figuring it out hour by hour, pretty much. And,
did you talk to David Biller?
Yes, I did. Good. Yes, he was helpful, and we're scheduling a follow-up call with him once we're a little more ready and calm to talk about things.
So right now, like today, I heard you need a car seat.
Yeah.
Okay. Phil, you have one?
Definitely.
Nice.
And a stroller that goes with it. They all connect together.
Great.
Cool.
Okay, so we'll get that to you today.
Done.
Take that right off the list.
Guys, stop making me cry more. I'm like, okay.
Well, what else? What can we do today?
Honestly, just you hearing your kindness is enough for me for today. I think, like, we're going to go to our friends to do laundry today. We also have our nanny is helping us, our babysitter. She's so nice. She's young girl in her 20s has been helping us out too with the baby. And you know, we've been able to somewhat create a normalcy. I don't even know because I'm trying to take it, you know, like I said, hour by hour, but like that, the car seat and the stroller, that's like a huge thing.
That's big.
And like, we actually have the Airbnb that we're going to be going to. The guy bought us a bassinet, you know, pack and play. I just mentioned, oh, we need one. Maybe we'll go get one. And then he bought it. Like, it's so.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. People are incredible. And I can't. It's
so everything in the house is unusable?
I'm going to say like 95%. Our basement, some of the stuff in the basement, but it's like that's basement. There's a reason it's basement stuff.
That was the worst swimming pool on the planet.
Yeah.
But like that stuff, they think, you know, but they're still ripping I told you on the phone when I talked, it's a gut job, everything. The nursery is the hardest part. I think some of my stuff, there's a lot of sentimental stuff, but then just also all the baby stuff we got from, you know, hand-me-down stuff, you know, stuff from my childhood, stuff from Nate's childhood. There's stuff that's like, it sucks. You can't replace that. Either it's there's well, no you, like, you know dollar value.
When you said you're just happy that it's you, the baby, Nate, the dog,
right?
Good.
Yeah.
Everything else is replaceable.
Right.
It sounds like you're doing all the right stuff. You're putting everything in order. You're doing it one thing at a time. You're getting through one day at a time.
Yeah.
We get this stroller off the list, and we'll put this GoFundMe page up. And you keep in constant contact with us if you need anything. Don't hesitate.
I don't think you guys understand how grateful I am to have you guys as part of my community. Like, the PLR family is so kind. All of you, Ruth, Phil, AJ, Chaz, like, you guys are unbelievable people. Thank you so much for all of your support. We feel it.
Here's the other thing. Keep in mind, at some point, you'll be in a house, maybe this house, maybe another house. You'll have all stuff.
Yep.
You'll be living your life, and you'll have a ton of new material.
Yes. That is true.
There is lots of material.
Start jotting things down.
Start writing it down.
And truly, I have a lot of junk at my house. If you need to fill your basement with junk again, I could.
There
is something odd about an empty basement. Junk really is comforting.
That's we need storage. Yeah.
All right, Ayesha, we're going to link up. Thank you for coming on. Our hearts are broken for you, but we're glad that everyone's safe.
We're going to fix this.
And we're going to fix this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Love you
too. Yeah. She has a good couch, and she loves birds.
Oh, boy. It's time for Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Hey, look, kids.
Dumbass.
It's AJ.
VHS tape.
VHS Dates Week. It continues with the Bird Lady with a good couch. Brian Blackmore in studio.
Good morning.
He is performing at the sold-out Chaz and AJ Comedy Show this Friday, thanks to Legends of Fear.
Thank you.
Where did you find you? You just this was trending on Instagram.
So yeah, I have a very bizarre kind of feed that I constantly look at. That just goes like, you know, all the stuff on the internet.
It knows you.
I'm always watching for the weirdest and most out there things. And I started landing on these VHS dating, like these people were taking VHS tapes, converting them, and then putting them online. And some of them are just out there,
gold.
Like, they're gold. Yeah. They're gold. They're pure gold.
There's still a debate online whether.
This is real or not?
It feels almost like a performance, some of them.
Well, these are dating tapes that folks made. I remember when people were doing this.
This was Tinder, right?
Yeah.
Like this was
This was the early Tinder, yeah.
Tinder on tape.
Hey, take my tape and then let me know if you want to go out, you know?
Right.
Yeah. All right. This is Heather, the bird lady.
My name is Heather, and I love birds, and I'm here to find my lovebird. I would describe myself like a cool summer day. I love men who are just...
Is she Massengill?
Hold it. Yeah, you're right. I was like, where have I heard this before? And you're right. It's that commercial.
I'm like a summer's eve. You're a douche.
Beautiful douche.
It's called being caught off guard by the question.
You got to plan your... You have to,
wow. All right.
I love men who are just open and honest, maybe a little like Val Kilmer.
White Val Kilmer?
Yeah. A little like Val Kilmer.
A little like him. Like which part?
Val Kilmer's pretty white.
Right. I mean, his name is Val.
Right. Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering what year this was and like what movie was out at that point.
Yeah.
Right.
Batman.
Yeah. Top Gun, maybe.
Oh, no, Batman? 90s.
Top Gun, maybe. This looks very
Top 80s. Gun or yeah. The Doors.
Possibly, yeah.
Right.
Even Tombstone.
Tombstone. Yeah. He was great in that.
Like
so that's a very white Val Kilmer, by the way, in Tombstone.
Yes, yeah. It is.
All right.
You should know that I have a really nice couch. I love my job.
Hold it. Now, why is that important?
A really nice couch. Place to sit.
Got a nice one.
That right. Sounds like her invitation.
Right.
To join them.
Where you're going to nest.
Right.
Like birds.
Yeah. And why not the bed? Like why would you mention the couch?
This because is stage she wants one? To be with the birds.
That's
still.
What the summer. That's yeah. What the summer day comes in. Takes place.
What's that now?
That's what the summer day takes place.
Summer
she's like,
day?
She's like a summer day. Yeah.
Oh, she's like a cool summer day?
Exactly, right.
Okay, on the couch?
Exactly.
Okay. Nice.
Right.
Sorry I asked. I did that. I stopped this. All right, keep going.
I love my job. I work at JCPenney. My dream job, I think I'd like to bake croissants. I definitely believe in love at first sight. I mean, is there anything more natural?
You know, if you bake croissants, you have to bake other stuff, too.
Yeah. For a living?
Yeah. And not for nothing. That's another sign right there. She's horny because those are very phallic-shaped.
That's...
You're weird.
Thank you.
You're just I don't know if that's where she was going with that.
I don't think croissants and penis.
Next time you're thinking of a cruller?
Next time, no. Look at them. They kind of droop.
A bear claw?
Yeah. Oh,
a croissant looks like a penis.
Yes, it does.
I have to look.
And then she wants to butter. She wants to butter it slowly.
I want to bake croissants for a living.
Bake croissants.
Pictures I mean, that's croissants. A great. That's a great choice.
Croissants are like half moon shaped,
right? But it's kind of like
right. Does your penis look like a croissant?
I didn't say it was, you know, ready for the moment, but you know, it looks like it's, you know.
And they're fat in the middle and skinny on both ends.
Exactly.
Is this what your penis looks like? It looks like a snail.
Yeah. Maybe when the water's cold.
It looks like a doughy snail.
When the water's cold.
Doughy snail.
Let's go back to summer's eve.
All right.
I mean, is there anything more natural in nature than just seeing a beautiful creature? I'm really good at bird calls. The dove.
I'm sorry, that is not good.
Is it a rapping
that's,
bird?
Yeah, that's a dove.
It's like Adam Sandler cold.
Yeah.
So hot. One
please, can
time.
I have a towel?
That's exactly.
Hey, Chris.
Perfect.
Jeez.
Oh, I've never done bird calls. Right. I feel like I could do this.
I feel like doves are like a thing. Yeah. Like,
it's more pigeon, right?
Yeah. Like that scene in Ace Ventura. He does better than she does. I mean,
that's from her mouth, right?
I hope so.
It's like she ate a hot croissant.
Can you imagine being across the table on a first date and she starts doing this? Mm. Yeah, it's like, all right, check, please.
And then go to the bathroom for a second, right back.
No, check out my couch.
Wow.
What is that sound? I'm thinking of a song, maybe.
It's Batman.
Val Kilmer.
Oh, that is
Kilmer.
We've come full circle.
Wow.
Look at us.
And then this is her her last bird call here.
That'd be the Pee Wee Herman bird.
Speaking of money, if you did win the Powerball jackpot, did you have a good plan?
Yeah.
I mean, we all talked about what we would have done and how we would have spent the money. We have the lottery lawyer on the phone right now. It's Kurt Panousis. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
Good.
I'm broke. That's what I am.
Well, we're here, so we didn't win.
Exactly. We answered the phone.
Okay, so we know now, because we don't know the identities of these people now, they're doing their due diligence.
Yes. I mean, that's what they should be doing. Because at the level that we're talking about, this was actually $1.8 billion, $900 million each. At that level, and clearly anything over $50 million, it's more than just doing a claim. And I learned that early on in my career, helping a young couple. It was probably my first lottery opportunity that, you know, I just helped them with the claim. And after the claim, things can go awry. So you do a good job of putting some documents together so they can claim it anonymously or to claim it just in general. And then, you lose track of the clients and there's no plan in place. And there's no procedure for them to follow. And they end up going through money and making bad decisions. So, in addition to a 37% federal income tax and your state tax that you would have to pay in Connecticut, I think it's clearly near 7% there. There is also a transfer tax when you go to help out other people. So it's called a gift tax.
And okay, hold on. Let's do this so I can follow along.
Wait, gift to people?
First of all, you said 37% federal tax. And then
correct.
The state,
24% now and then 13% when you file your return in April of the following year. So 37% total for federal.
Okay, so what do you recommend? Let's start with, I got the ticket. Do you recommend one-time payout or...
My general rule is when you look at the numbers, if you show them the cash flow opportunities and what they're able to do and have access to, the lump sum. And another reason for that is where do you think income taxes are going to go in future years? If you think that they're going to go up for high earning people.
No, but wait a minute.
Over five.
Hold it. The lump sum lops off almost half of the money immediately.
Yeah.
So my thought would be if you're 20, take the payments.
Exactly.
If you're 60, take the lump sum.
Gotcha.
Depending on where you are in your life cycle.
Let me write this down. Take lump sum.
Would you agree with that?
Not really, no. And the main reason is that you will pay the income taxes at whatever the rate is at that time. Right now, we're at 37%. Back in 1979, when I graduated college, anyone that earned over $100,000 paid 70%. So, if income tax rates go up in the future, which I think they will for high earning people, you'll pay the rate at that year.
No, but the tax immediately, if you take the lump sum, is almost 50%. You go from $1.8 billion to like $700
million. And that's based on what governments are like a state of Connecticut lottery group or any other state can invest in. And that's based on 5-year treasuries. So the question, which 5-year treasury.
No, but do you know what I'm saying? I don't mean to make it complicated, but if you're 20 and you take the lump sum, you're losing almost half immediately. Then you're paying taxes.
Yeah.
But if you have the lump sum amount in your account generating a return and also able to spend $11-12 billion a year, and you have $250 million being invested for you, you know, half of the 400 lump sum basically, then you'll be able to generate $11 million a year, and your $250 million of principal will continue to grow without having any taxes associated with it inside your portfolio.
Okay, if you invest it correctly, you'll make more money over what would have been 20 years.
Correct.
Got it. Gotcha.
And your tax rate will be fixed at 37%, which is the lowest it's been since I've been alive.
Nice.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. All right. So you say no matter what.
You lock in, yeah.
If you're 20, if you're 60, take the lump sum.
Right.
Yeah. However, if there is a younger person that tells me, Kurt, I have no control over myself. I'm going to be buying stuff left and right.
Then okay.
You may say to that person, yeah.
Got it.
That is definitely a concern.
All right. So it's based on the individual.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's where right now, whoever are the two winners out there, that they need a plan. They need to be thinking about a lot of questions. They need to answer questions for whoever is the leader of their group. Because, you know, it's more than a claim. That's what I've been telling people for years. It's more than a claim.
Talking to the lottery lawyer. All right. So let's just say I wake up Sunday morning and my numbers match.
Yep.
$1.8 billion.
Right.
What's the first thing I do?
Revive you.
Well, if you look at any lottery website, and Connecticut is the same as anyone else, they'll say sign the back of the ticket.
Okay,
sign the ticket for protection.
You say don't.
My view is do not do that, because, you know, when someone wins this kind of money, as I said, in order to help them plan, you're going to ask them a bunch of questions about, okay, who would you help out? It's a year from now. Who would you have helped out in the last year? And they'll say, well, I have three kids, and my kids are all adults. They're all married. You know, I'd like to help them out. Well, great. Once you go over $14 million of transfers to those kids in total, you're at a 40% gift tax.
Oh.
So in addition to what you just paid in income tax, so you know, you want
Isn't
to
there
say,
a way around that with trusts?
Well, that's one of the ways that you would do this. You would plan this out by saying, well, let's claim it in a trust where mom and dad own 70% and each of the three kids own 10%.
Okay. All right. That's why you're not signing it, because you're going to put the ticket
Correct.
Under a trust.
Okay.
Got it.
Because,
smart.
Yeah, because whoever signs the back of the ticket in many states, that's who has to claim it.
Nope.
So you know, back of a ticket. So I could paint, I want a canvas that's clear with everything. So I could paint whatever picture the client wants.
Right. Okay. So you want the person who won to take a picture of themselves with the ticket.
Well, like a ransom almost.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. First of all, take a picture of the front and the back of the ticket, just so that you can give that to the advisor
right.
to help you.
But with you holding it, right?
Yeah.
Well, take another one with you holding the ticket. You know, the advisor doesn't need to see your picture with the ticket.
Just in case something happens.
Because that's the first thing I'll ask for. I'll say, take a picture of the ticket and send it to me so I can verify it's a winning ticket.
Are there apps that are like spying on your phone that could like potentially read that and alert someone?
Oh, wow.
There's a possibility that there might be something out there like
okay,
that.
Okay, so turn your Wi-Fi off on the phone.
Right, just come out there.
Yes.
Put it in airplane mode.
Exactly.
Take these pictures.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Yes,
and then
you go.
Get it into a safe deposit box.
I was going to sign mine in blood.
Correct.
Got it.
Because it's going to take, at this level, it will take 2 to 3 weeks to put something together that makes sense. Because you have to ask the client, hey, about your three kids. Are they married? Who are they married to? How long have they been married? Have they signed premarital agreements?
Right.
Are there any issues in their marriage? You know, you have to go through a laundry list.
That's right.
You're almost like a guidance counselor, as well as an attorney and tax person for you.
I'm a cat. I'm good.
So don't sign it. Put it in a safe place. And then, you know, contact an experienced attorney to help you with this process. I always joke around and say, hey, you get one chance at this. This is the biggest financial decision you're ever going to make. It's like getting to the Super Bowl. Who do you want to have as your Super Bowl quarterback? Do you want Tom Brady or do you want Marcus Mariota? Both are very good. Marcus Mariota won the Heisman, but he's never won a playoff game? Or do you want someone that has experience being there before? So that's my calling card.
What makes you the lottery lawyer?
I don't like to actually call myself a lottery lawyer because there was a guy that got put in jail for
He was our guy. By the way, that guy would come on the show back when we were on Long Island and then here, right?
Yep.
And he was great. And I thought, if I ever hit, he's my first call.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then he went to jail.
I'm sure he did a lot of good work for a long time.
Do you read the story?
For himself,
if half of it's true, that's not true.
He got involved, but early on, I think he was doing the right thing. I think then he started saying, hey, I could make more money helping people with the investment side of it. And he got involved with organized crime. And, you know, a client that wins $200 million, they're not looking for a 20% return. They're looking to make sure that the money's there in their account the next day.
Right.
And so that's why you want to make sure you get some good financial people there and have someone put a team around with some checks and balances.
Let me ask you this.
Not one person doing everything.
A bank will insure your money. The FDIC, it's up to, what, $50,000?
Or $250,000?
It's
$250,000.
Okay, $250,000.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you do? Like, you can't put all that money in one spot.
Well,
right?
you're not putting it with a bank, opening up a checking account. That's where you're limited, or a savings account. You're going through investment groups where they're what they're called fiduciaries, which they have a different insurance policy over these funds because they have no right to be investing your assets. They're investing it for you. So, they're covered for a lot more.
But let's just say I don't want any of this in the market. I just want this money somewhere where it's protected.
Like a mattress.
Is that... it's a big mattress.
Yeah, it would be a big mattress. Not a water mattress either.
No.
So, you'd want to put it with, a organization that has the holding group like Schwab, Fidelity, that runs all their money through those people. Because
can you give it to Schwab and say, I don't want this in the market. If the market tubes, I don't want to lose a dollar. Here it is.
Yes.
You get to look at it.
Fondle it occasionally.
And what do they charge you to store it and to protect it?
Well, generally for just money market type rates, most good investment people will not charge you because they're not really doing any investment work. You still need to have a little bit into the stock market, maybe 60%, 40% in tax frees. You want to be able to control your gains and losses. And so you still want to have access to the market for a little bit of just inflation protection, basically. So, I would never tell someone to put $200 million just in money market like that.
Right.
Because that's not the right thing to do. And most financial people would say, no, we're not doing that.
Have you had any big lottery winning clients?
Have I?
Yes.
Over $1 billion in the state of Michigan, a couple $500 million ones in Pennsylvania and Florida.
That's a yes.
Yeah. Oh, we want to have you back and talk about some of those and talk about some of the people who didn't take your advice.
Right, and blew it.
Only had one that I signed as a client because, if the client's not going to follow advice, then you're not going to want to be involved with them. So,
right, because you'll get all the blame.
Well, of course. And I want my clients to be successful. I mean, that's, again, for me, I want them to be successful in life. I want the plan to be tax efficient for them. I'm also a CPA as well as an attorney. And so I want them to be successful. I don't want people to know who they are. Anonymity is important to me. If a client doesn't want to follow those, then I don't want to be associated with them because I don't want to end up like that guy in New York City.
Yeah.
I want to make sure my clients are successful and limit the people that I help out just to help them through this process. This is the biggest decision that they have to make. And they need, there's no do-overs and they need to take their time.
Kurt Panousis, not the lottery lawyer, but better than the lottery lawyer.
Exactly.
I call myself the stealth lawyer.
The stealth lawyer.
That sounds cooler.
Because no one knows who my clients are.
Oh, that's cool.
Have stealth money.
All right, we'll have you back and talk lottery stuff. I can talk about this stuff all day.
Yeah.
It's nice to dream. No,
I'm salivating.
All right, thank you, brother. We'll link up.
Thank you for having me.
Tomorrow's 9/11. So we moved Jimmy's show up to today. We'll have Jimmy on tomorrow to talk about a 9/11 related concert.
Yeah.
But today we talk about anything you want to know about regarding your bands. Do you want to talk about a show you went to 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you've been very, very good at calling in and asking them about stuff that hasn't been announced. We found out about Creed last week, thanks to someone. We found out about Dave Matthews, thanks to Dave from Riverview Bistro. So have at him, 203-882-9757. Good morning, Jimmy. All right. Hold on.
He's building up to it.
Yeah.
Any moment now.
He's got an intro.
He is, right.
All right, that should do it. Jimmy?
Yep.
There you are.
Hello.
Yeah, okay.
There we go.
Good heavens.
All right. Welcome back.
Nice to be back on a Wednesday.
Nice to hear you in your studio.
Yes.
Yes.
Crystal clear.
That is nice.
You were about to send me something.
I sent it to you.
Oh, did you?
Well, what is it? Some kind of
Oh, my God. It's an ad.
Okay.
Black Sabbath. With special guest Van Halen.
Whoa.
Sunday, September 10th, the New Haven Coliseum, 7:30. These tickets now would be priceless, by the way.
Just have that ticket,
that's true.
Tickets, $7.50. That's the highest ticket price.
Damn.
$7. And then $6.50.
Okay, that's my seats right there. Those are my seats. Gotcha. Thank you.
Produced in association with WPLR.
Nice.
My guess is that's the first time Van Halen played Connecticut, would be my guess.
Wow.
1978.
As an opening act. That's wild.
I also want to wonder where my brain was at, that the last row was $6.50 and the front row was $7.50.
Well, back then, folks made like $20 a week, so.
Right. Phil, can you look at what the minimum wage was in 1978?
Sure.
I'm going to guess it was $2.92.
Okay. I remember being $1.80 at one point. Because that's what they gave me.
Yeah.
That's what they told me anyway. I remember I was 37.
Maybe it was less. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, Jimmy, do you remember that show?
Absolutely not.
Really?
It was the 70s. Right. That's what I remember from the 70s.
Right. A lot was happening back then.
Phil?
265.
Oh, I was close.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
$2.65.
$2.65.
Damn.
So, Jimmy, you were basically... You know, if you're making minimum wage, you'd have to work about 30 minutes to get that from the back row to the front row.
Right. The upgrade.
Yeah.
Seems worth it to me.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah. I'll give him an hour. Go for it.
And isn't that the tour? It started out Black Sabbath, Van Halen, and somewhere in the middle of the tour, that Van Halen album exploded and they went off and headlined their own tour.
That might be possible. I don't remember that. There's no doubt, with all due respect to Black Sabbath, that the first time you see Van Halen, you are blown away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are just blown away. It was like that with Def Leppard. There were a number of artists that... I remember when Def Leppard opened up for Billy Squire, and I stood out there and I went, oh my God, Def Leppard is going to be so much bigger than Billy Squire. They were just so amazing at the Coliseum. And I'm sure this was the case with Van Halen, too.
Yeah.
I think David Lee Roth is the best front man of his time.
And you had, you know, four stars in that Van Halen band.
Yeah.
You know? And they had everything to prove. And Black Sabbath was already in there.
Established, comfortable.
Drugs and alcohol.
Right. Wearing slippers on stage, things like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Was anybody listening? Oh, was Curtis at that show?
He said he had a question, actually.
Oh, okay.
Well,
Curtis in West Haven. All right, stop yelling. Stop yelling.
Curtis, take a breath.
All right, Curtis, go ahead.
Okay, I apologize. I was at the show, and on my way in, I'm going to try to say this quickly. On the way in, I found a big Van Halen pen, and I'm like, who the hell are these guys? Heck are these guys? And I threw it away. When I got into the show... Van Halen came on, and I'm telling you, I love Black Sabbath, but Van Halen blew him off the stage. Anyway, we push forward. Well, I'm on the floor. We push forward. I'm jammed against the stage. I sat on the stage for the whole entire time that Black Sabbath played against, with my back against the monitor. And somebody drew a cross up on the stage. Ozzy Osbourne handed it to me. The person next to me snatched it out of my hand. Ozzy snatched it back and gave it to me.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
and
a cool
I swear,
story.
I said, no one was ever going to believe that I sat on the stage of this show. When I went to school the next day, my friends, two girls that I was really close with, were at the show, and they seen me. So, everybody.
All right, well, they believed it. All right, Curtis. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Great story.
I just sat on his head.
No, but Jimmy, that was a different time. I remember that you were able to rush the stage and be right on the edge of the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a much looser time. Concerts were more community-oriented. Now they're reserved seats, and you got to sit down, and ushers. It's a different world then. And also, we beat the crap out of people that misbehaved. Now we can't beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, all the fun is gone. The thrill is gone.
Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation on. It is not Thursday. It is Wednesday. Tomorrow's 9/11. Right. So Jimmy will be on tomorrow to talk about some 9/11-related concerts. But we wanted to do the full show here today and not miss out on that. We were just talking about 47 years ago today, Black Sabbath, with Van Halen opening, played the New Haven Coliseum. And I'm guessing back then, Jimmy, were you paying them in cash? Were you writing checks? How did that work?
Well, back then, if the artist got only, you know, if the tickets were only $750, $7 and $650, the whole gross was only $70,000. So the artist probably got $20,000 to $25,000 total. And a lot of it was done in cash.
Well,
now if Van Halen toured, they'd get $1 million a night. So, I mean, that's how things have changed.
Damn.
So $20,000, would that be in a paper bag, in a suitcase? How would you carry that to the Coliseum?
Oh, we would have Brinks bring it over.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Brinks truck would bring it over, give it to the box office. Box office then bag it up and then give it to us.
So that's 1978.
Yeah.
When did you switch over? There had to be a time where you're like paper bag and piles of money.
That was in the earlier 70s. Paper bags are very popular.
Right. It said sandwich on it. It's just a sandwich.
All magical things were in brown paper bags. There was beer, the giant 40s.
Right, Zeppelies.
Cash and sandwiches.
Yes.
That's how we carried things around then.
Yeah.
It was the dark ages.
Yeah, designer jeans. Couldn't put in pockets.
Pete in Plainville.
Good morning.
Morning.
In the news this morning, they were talking, I know it's a little different than music, but the World Cup coming to Foxborough. Is Live Nation going to be selling tickets for that at all?
I don't know. No, Live Nation won't. Ticketmaster might be, but not Live Nation.
Okay, and then the other weird thing they said is having to go through FIFA and using Visa only, not MasterCard or any other cards.
Well, sounds like they have a sponsorship deal with Visa.
Yeah.
They should have been stumped the chumps yesterday. It would have been in the running.
See, it would have been.
I would have disqualified you for having a stupid question.
Right, World Cup, come on.
Only kidding, Pete. Just kidding. Yes. All right, thank you for the question.
We love. Yeah.
Joe the Barber.
Yo, hey, what's going on? I think Outlaws coming back to Toad's place. They used to play there a bunch of times.
Now, how do you know about that, Joe? We're talking about it's not done yet.
Outlaws,
we're talking about bringing the Outlaws to Toad's.
Would
the Outlaws fans stand for, or they want seats? That's the big question we're going through right now.
Well, that'd be cool. It'd be really nice. I'd be like, you got Tower Power.
Joe.
Let's see if you get those.
I don't understand what's happening.
Like an informant.
Joe, thank you. Yeah, we're nice to Joe because, I mean, he bought a wing of Jimmy's house.
Yeah, he did.
How many amp shows has he been to? Like 50-something?
Yeah.
He's been going to concerts forever.
Yeah, show him on stage.
Yeah. Is that more annoying now for you? Like with the internet, people find out stuff and some of it's not true. Some of it is true. It's hard to keep secrets now.
It is quite a change. The things that people say about me sometimes are not very nice on the internet. So
no,
really,
but that's, we all feel
I'll go
that.
Find them.
That's social media. That's I generally don't see
what
a lot
social?
Of
social.
goodness.
Yeah. It's like anti-social media, really. Yeah.
There was one guy that got really nasty with me, so I called up Ticketmaster, and I said, can you take this guy's name down? And every time he tries to buy a ticket, sell him a ticket. I don't want to lose the money and let him come to the show, but make it like it's only the last row that's available.
Right. Or behind a pole.
That's awesome.
Right. Wow.
Behind a pole.
That's all. I want to sit this guy in the last row.
You're being nice, pal.
Nice.
Change your attitude.
Right.
If you want to get out of the doghouse.
That's awesome. You know, you can be. People get really nasty online now. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a drag.
They come up to you, they hug you.
The keyboard brave, they call that. Yes.
Well, that's interesting. Okay.
Jimmy Coplick on today. We'll have him on tomorrow early to talk about 9/11 related concerts. Here's a text. Is Jack Johnson coming anytime soon? That's from Colleen. I knew it'd be from a woman.
Jack Johnson.
No man asks about Jack Johnson.
Never, ever.
Yes, I hope Jack Johnson will be at the Meadows next summer.
Bob in West Haven.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing? Thanks for all these great shows you've been putting on for all the years.
Thank you.
Question for you. Tommy James, I know, you know, classic rock. Could he be part of an upcoming package or classic rock shows for next year at the Amp? He still sounds pretty darn good.
Well, we normally do those shows at Oakdale. And he was at Oakdale this summer, and he is on the Happy Together tour a lot, and hopefully he'll be on the Happy Together tour next summer.
Okay, one more while we're at it. Alabama, another, you know, classic rock. I know you have a lot of country over there. Any chance of getting them next year?
Who?
Alabama.
You know, I just came across that we did an Alabama Charlie Daniels show at the New Haven Coliseum back in the 80s. I would gladly bring him back. I think the best place to bring him would be Mohegan Sun.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Are you going to Papa Roach tonight at the Amp?
Yes, I will be there.
Nice.
Not
that I know any of their songs.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
They're great.
And good guys,
I don't
too.
Their songs, but
good guys.
Are they? Yeah. It's doing great. Say hi to the guys, and then I'll listen to a little music, and then I'll drive home.
Ed in Milford.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jimmy. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Jethro Tull. Any chance of him coming around?
Him?
I have not heard of any tour at all. If Ian or Jethro Tull comes around, I would love to bring him into Oakdale or into the Amp, one of the two.
Yeah, because I think I went on Live Nation. He might be doing some stuff in the UK, but I didn't see anything here. I wasn't sure.
I'd love to bring Ian in. He's one of my favorite people in the business.
Those kitty cats, I know that.
All right, hey, thanks.
All right, thank you. Friday and Saturday, Tedeschi Truck Band with Steve Winwood at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. You going?
I am going to be there Friday. Can't wait. I have my little recording of me introducing Traffic at Woodstock 94, which I'll play for
you. Oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
Which we'll get a kick out of, and I want to say hi to him because I'm one of his biggest fans. And I love Tedeschi Trucks also. You know, Andy, are you guys going? Andy's their manager, you know.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to Sebastian Maniscalco at Mohegan Sun.
Oh, okay. I'll tell Andy you chose somebody else. That's
please don't.
I'm going to be a dud.
Yeah. We're all friendly with the manager for Tedeschi Trucks in case people don't know.
Right. Tell Andy I'll see him soon.
Okay.
Andy
Mendelsohn.
Him
on the air. He's got great stories.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Why
Andy Mendelsohn is someone that AJ worked with at WRCN Long Island.
Yeah. Long time friendship.
And then he went on to become a great rock music manager.
Yeah. Always a good dude.
Jimmy, we have you introducing Traffic at, what is it, 1994 Woodstock?
Yep.
Yeah, Woodstock 94.
By kind permission of Her Majesty the Queen, ladies and gentlemen, Traffic!
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It was really exciting.
Did they write that?
They wrote it out for me. Yeah, I could never make that up.
Yeah, by kind permission.
Right.
No. The manager knew I was a giant Traffic fan, so he came up to me and said, would you like to introduce them to 300,000 people?
Wow.
I said, I'd love to do that. And they told me what to say. I had to memorize that, which wasn't easy.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had to memorize that.
It's not something you like read from a scroll, you know?
Yeah, exactly, you're right.
By kind permission of the Queen of England, I present to you Traffic.
Traffic!
Wow. How cool is that?
Lights in, they show up.
Early Queen, right? Early Queen.
Well, that's it. You're, you know. That's it. You're there. You're logged in forever.
That's awesome.
Can you do that intro now, Jimmy?
You know what? Wouldn't that be funny? I should ask Steve if he wants me to introduce him. By kind permission of the Queen, please welcome Steve Winwood.
Nice.
I should do that.
Yeah, look at that. It's Wednesday, but we have Jimmy Coplick on today.
Yes.
And he's taking your calls and questions at 203-882-9757. Let's take Kimmy in Stratford.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I have to call and rave about the fabulous experience we had Saturday night at the Xfinity Center. We were on the lawn. It was pouring rain. We were sitting there in our ponchos, on our garbage bags, and a woman came up to us and said, "Do you want tickets inside?" We said, "Oh, my God, that would be wonderful." And down we went, front row center.
Really?
So I know it had to have been a Live Nation girl. She had a Yankee hat on, but she didn't have any other Live Nation, but it was fabulous.
That's sick. That's awesome.
That's great.
It was. And I, you know, I asked, you know, all about Jimmy, and every time I asked about him, they're like, "Oh, yeah, he's the best. He's the best. He's the best." So just thank you for what you do, and we appreciate you.
So, Jimmy, what do you think? Do you think that was a Live Nation person or someone on mushrooms?
Well, it might have been both.
What did I do? what did I do?
No, what we try to do is we try to fill in the front rows because the artists can see the first 5 to 7 rows. They really can't see past that. So if we see any empty seats, we grab tickets, we go up to people on the lawn, and we give them, because they're the best fans, because they are willing to sit up on the lawn to watch the show. So we try to give the best fans the front row seats. So you got lucky. It's great.
Nice.
Congratulations. Nice. It was a great show.
And I'm going to Tedeschi Trucks on Saturday and Hailstorm on Sunday.
Wow.
So you want to know where I am, and we can move it up?
Yeah, we're a garbage bag.
Well, we'll look for you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Kimmy. Great call. And there was a rain situation. Like she said, it was downpouring on them for a while.
Yeah, listen, it really rained beforehand, too. I got caught in the traffic beforehand. I got there around 4 in the afternoon, and it was pouring. And but thankfully, there was no lightning, and that's really what stops the show, is lightning.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen. But it rained for a while. But most of the show, it didn't rain. It only rained for about 30 to 45 minutes, at least that I saw.
You know, and I think when you're going to an outside concert, you look at the weather, and if it's going to rain, you just bring a poncho
exactly.
or something. You get ready for it.
Prepare.
Yeah. It makes it part of the experience.
So
like she said, she'll never forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were a little concerned because it's an older audience. You know, you have a 92-year-old headliner and an 84-year-old very special guest. So you really figure that the fans are probably fans of those old guys.
Right.
And between Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan, what's that, 156 years old?
Right.
So, wow.
I felt young. It was great.
What was the backstage like? Do they hang out or do they kind of keep to themselves?
Oh, they keep to themselves. It was Willie did not leave the bus until he went on stage.
I wonder why.
Bob Dylan did not leave the bus until he went on stage.
Well, they can't get sick at this point.
I don't think Willie smokes pot anymore.
No!
Yeah, I don't think he does anymore.
Oh.
He usually gave out free pot backstage at every show. There was no free pot being given out backstage.
Damn.
So I don't think he does that anymore. And but they both stayed by themselves, off to themselves, and only went to the stage when they got on the stage. I actually stood on the stage for Bob Dylan for the first song, but in the back, and the road manager came and said, "If Bob sees you, he'll walk off the stage." I said, "He doesn't even know me."
Really?
He doesn't not like me. He goes, "He doesn't want anybody on the stage." I go, "Okay.
Okay."
That's
won't
weird.
Pay you
a little
tonight,
eccentric.
That's all. I won't pay you. Yeah.
I'll forget to pay.
Right.
Yeah, I'll go home.
Exactly, with the money.
How did Dylan sound?
He actually sounded really good, but
really?
You could barely see him because he was behind his keyboards the whole night, and he wore a black hoodie.
Oh, wow.
Sure it was him?
It's weird. A lot of these artists are actually shy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? With COVID going around, we had to wear masks if we went into the artist area. And I haven't had to wear a mask in years. And but you know, you got a 92-year-old and an 84-year-old.
Yeah, that'll take them out.
The common cold do it.
Not only derail the tour, but take them out of life.
Yes,
no problem. I wore the mask with no problem.
At the downer, yeah.
Ralph in East Haven.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey,
morning,
Jim. I know you're probably getting tired of being asked this question, but I know there's a lot of speculation going around with Steven Tyler. I mean, he sounds phenomenal. It appears that he's overcome that very serious vocal cord issue. Do you think there's any chance that they may go on tour? And if they do, would you be able to maybe convince them to do a couple of shows at MSG or even Connecticut?
If they go on tour, that shouldn't be a problem, and I'll work my butt off to get them into Connecticut. I'm sure they'll play MSG. I just get the feeling that for some reason, and you're right, I thought he vocally sounded great on the VMAs. I couldn't believe it. I don't think he can pull it off on a tour, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's grueling.
So maybe he'll do a final show or a final series of shows, and my guess would be in Boston.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that makes sense. Right. That's an appropriate way to say goodbye. We had Sully on, and Sully Erna on, and he said, you know, you can't go out, a legend like that can't go out with an Instagram post.
No.
You have to do a show. Do we have a clip?
I hope Tyler comes back, at least resurfaces, just to put a small handful of shows together, because I got to tell you, I don't like that he, you know, wrote a letter, posted it on Instagram about like, hey, this is the end, you know, thanks for being a fan for 50 years and see you later. I'm like, no, that's not how you end a legacy, dude. You need to come back, even if your voice hurts or whatever. You stand on that stage, maybe you have some guest singers, play a full show, and then Tyler steps out for a 3-song encore or something at the end, takes his bow, says a few words to the fans, and that's how you go out.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, he's right.
That's what Ozzy did.
It's true.
If you think about it, remember when David Lee Roth began this tour, the first night we were playing audio, Jimmy, we all were amazed.
Yeah.
We're like, he sounds great.
Oh my God, he's back.
And now you hear, you know, 10, 15 shows in.
It's wearing out.
It's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're right. That's why I think a tour would be difficult, but certainly a series of shows would be good. I'm hoping the same for Bon Jovi, because he's working through vocal problems too, and I'd love to see him do some shows. You know, not a tour, but do some shows.
Yeah.
And he has an album coming out next month, and there's a country track on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Oh.
Mike in Bridgeport.
How you doing, Jim?
Good, thanks. On my way up there now.
Hello?
I'm going busy. I'll be at the amp.
Yeah, hello? Mike? Yeah, Mike, go ahead. What's your question, please?
Yeah, Jim, is there any truth to that Paige, Plant, and Jones coming around again next year?
No, that's AI crap that they put on Instagram and Facebook.
Really?
No, that's not true at all. I think Robert Plant put aside all the Led Zeppelin reunion rumors forever.
Yeah, they put dates on there and everything on the site.
It's all this AI garbage.
Yeah, there's another one going around that's saying that Bob Seger's going to play the Super Bowl halftime show. And I told him he fell for it, and I posted like a moron on my page.
It's so bad. That went
and then they got Willie Nelson laying in a hospital bed with Steven Tyler on one side and Paul McCartney on the other
that's
side.
That's right,
saying,
yeah.
Yeah, meantime, Paul McCartney's playing the guitar with his right hand, and he's not a righty.
I love that you spot those things.
And he has six fingers.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on today on a Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 8:20, your usual time, to talk about the concert for New York and the concerts in Connecticut that got canceled due to 9/11. Thank you, Jimmy Copley.
You got it, guys.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.